Hi, I'm Carr Wilson, Doctor of Behavioral Health, and I want to welcome you to Covenant Behavioral Health, started in 2011. We've been an industry leader in the mental health field, servicing active duty personnel, veterans, and their families. Our practice started in St. Louis, Missouri, and has expanded with offices in Iowa and California. Covenant Behavioral Health is a registered 501c3 agency, and we're committed to servicing active duty, military personnel, their dependents, and the local community at large through education and therapeutic services. We blend professional psychotherapy and psychoeducation material in an integrated healthcare setting to assist with relationships, healing wounds of the past, and enhancing our patients' quality of life. Here at Covenant Behavioral Health, we are committed to the preservation of families and relationships. Using practical, interactive, and solution-focused approach, we provide support and practical feedback to help our patients resolve current problems and change long-standing behavior patterns.
¿Quién somos? Covenant Salud y Comportamientos comenzó en 2011 y somos el líder de la carrera de salud. Y damos ayudas a veteranos y servicios activos y familias. Nuestra práctica comenzó en St. Louis, Missouri, y ha expandido a Iowa y California los pasados 6 años. Nos gustaría trabajar con ustedes para ayudarles a tener éxito personal y profesional.
Greetings and welcome to this week's Covenant Behavioral Health Weekly Podcast. I'm Dr. Wilson, and my special guest today is Jennifer Cobb, pastoral counselor, and we're going to have her introduce herself and tell us a little bit about her. But before we get started, I want to invite you to visit our website at covenantbehavioralhealth.org. That's covenantbehavioralhealth.org. Go to our event page, and you can see everything that's going on, from our public speaking engagements to our High Desert Professional Group, which meets every second Saturday of the month from 9 until 11. Currently, because of the pandemic, we are meeting online via Zoom. I want to give a big plug to our Faith and Mental Health Conference that's going to be held November the 6th and 7th in Colton, California at 851 South Mount Vernon Avenue in Colton, California, Suite 9. That's our Faith and Mental Health Conference. Well, let me start by introducing Jennifer again. Jennifer, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you're here today.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson. It's an honor to be in your clinic today. I am a continuing student of psychology, specifically pastoral counseling. I'm also a court mediator, a certified grief recovery specialist. I'm also certified in several marital enrichment seminars. I have been practicing, schooling, and teaching step families and the blended family theories and the trauma that goes along with that, and specifically in our church, but also into the community.
Okay. And tell me, how did you get into this particular field?
Which field would that be?
So this it sounds like family is a theme here. So relationships, I hear you
Absolutely.
Talk about, blended families, and so family seems to be a theme here. And you mentioned that you were a, did you say forever psychologist or continual?
Continuing education. I'm a student of Liberty University, a great school, number one evangelical college in the nation. Very, very good. I love the basic education, but also how it refers to biblical values and encircles that information.
So are you working on a certain degree with Liberty University right
yes,
now?
Yes,
I am.
Psychology, pastoral counseling.
You got it.
I appreciate that. I'm very passionate about healthy relationships and coming to the table. I really have enjoyed my court mediation training and practicing that in our local county courthouse. Much to learn there. Just conversation can lead you to a healthier relationship. It's a good start.
Now, is that something that you only do in Orange County?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I stick with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The blended family portion, I think when my husband's family and my family each experienced a divorce with our sisters, that was very, very eye-opening. We have become a blended family. And it's very rare to teach students in the classroom, to teach someone in your youth group. We've got neighbors. Nearly everyone has experienced or involved in a blended family. We can't leave that out of our ministry and our church.
Yeah.
There's blended families in the Bible. We've got to learn. We've got to move forward because the old traditional ways
blended
are not where we're
are at.
Blended
families are more common than,
than
anything else.
Jaw drop when you're married 27 years and your parents have been married 55.
I am amazed.
It's not
still,
the norm.
I am amazed still today when people say, we've been married for 14 years.
Yes.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yes.
To hear somebody be married for 14 years is amazing
today. Absolutely. And I love combining the marriage counseling, the marriage enrichment programs that we teach, mm-hmm. the grief recovery, getting past some of the hurts and the traumas and the myths,
mm-hmm.
and bringing that forward. And it's all about a healthy relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, tell me, what's one of the common myths you've heard or that you know of when it comes to being in this particular field? Like, what's one of the common myths?
I was warned, can you handle what you're set out to do? Mm. I was warned, are you strong enough? Do you think that's going to bring you down?
Mm.
We're going to involve ourselves in something. Constantly learning is healthy. I don't teach or proclaim anything that I haven't already learned,
mm-hmm.
or practiced. I put my seatbelt on first.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about healthy emotions. Life isn't perfect, but once you have those tools, you can practice them and you can certainly teach them.
Yeah. So for you, when you said that people asked, were you ready for this? Are you prepared for sort of everything that comes along with this? I think when I hear that doing this work is being involved in relationships, family dynamics. That's messy work.
No, I wasn't ready for it.
It's messy work.
It is. It's draining. You can take problems and issues on. It's important to decompress when you're done counseling, when you're done meeting with people. Your calendar is huge.
Yeah.
It's got to revolve around my first ministry,
mm-hmm.
which is my family.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I absolutely want to invest in something,
mm-hmm.
and that would be the people that I love and church, family specifically. But you never stop using what you've been trained for.
Yeah.
I find it's a joy to see people healed, marriages restored, and a healthier mind and lifestyle go forward.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for I think very special people, decide to get on this journey and to actually walk the journey out. I think it's glamorous to some people, but when you really get into this, you find there's nothing glamorous about emotions, feelings, relationships, and things of that nature. When you enter, I don't know. I don't even know what the fantasy is about psychology. But knowing what I know now, it's like, trust me, you don't want to do this.
Do you find sometimes you forget about the letters behind your name, and that's not the importance of it?
I don't even think about that.
No,
I don't even
don't.
Think I do.
It's not
no.
a. We don't resort it's, or depend on that.
Yeah.
Because you have to care.
My son told me
we are a heart with ears.
He told me, he said, he's very good, analytical brain. He has, his memory is, he has this academic memory. This kid can remember when he was 2.
Wow.
And 3 years old. He remembers outfits. He remembers birthday songs. He remembers birthday cakes. He remembers restaurants and people names. It blows my mind. The stuff this kid comes up with that he can remember. I'm like, you were too young. You don't remember that. He goes, Dad, I do remember
wow.
that. And So engineering came very easy to him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, we have an engineer. This is going to be great, you know. And so he's on this row. He's going through, taking these engineering classes. And one day, out of the blue, he broke my heart. He told me he did not want to be an engineer anymore. Oh. Guess what he told me he wanted to do? He wanted to be in the field of psychology. I said, no, you do not want to be in the field. No, right, you do not want to do this. Right. This is not, no.
Right.
I want you to be happy. Right. I want you to make money. I want you to, this is not the field.
I agree, absolutely.
There's no glamour in being in this field.
There's no glamour in
being in this
field. You get the ugly. Mm-hmm. You get to deal with the ugly. You get to experience the ugly.
Yeah.
You get to take the ugly home.
Mm-hmm.
You get to think about the ugly for next week and your next session.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to relive that vicarious.
Yes. Yes.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah. This is not for, there's no glamour if you're listening to me today and being in this field. There's no glamour. All right. What advice would you give to someone who was wanting to enter into this field?
Find a support. My husband's a chaplain. My husband has several degrees, works with the sheriff department. The list goes on. I can't sit here and explain all that he is and all that he does. However, at the end of the day, we are a listening ear for each other. I also have a mom with an amazing listening ear who at any time I can tell her what's on my mind. Mm-hmm. And I know that's followed up with prayer. And you have to have a support of some kind.
Yeah.
And that will carry you through. I get a thumbs up from my pastor. Mm-hmm. Might not be verbally. There might not be accolades. You're certainly not, necessarily recognized, because so many things we deal with are behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not for public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so you deal with some things and you're... Leadership doesn't even know daily. They don't know your phone rang at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's a joy there, but there's also some negative. So to have someone say, I'm grateful for what you do. Don't ever get burned out. Come talk to me and just recognize you.
Yeah.
But when you've been through some things, emotional trauma, the list could be a mile long of any type of grief or situations, and you have found a joy, a happiness, life can blossom for you. You believe in what you teach.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm very partial to a healthy relationship. It can be anything from a half an hour lunch with a friend where they leave on a better note and you were just encouraging, or it can be really raising someone out of an emotional pit where life has ended for them. And it can take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a joy, and I want to do my part.
Yeah. Your husband, I interviewed your husband, and we talked about, I asked him the same question also. And guess what his answer was? Networking.
Ah.
His answer was networking, having people.
He is a scholar. He never stops learning. He brings great things to the table. Incredible researcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that to look up to.
Yeah. So, are there any things that really stick out to you that you want to share with people who are thinking about joining you on this path, joining us in the helping profession? Give me two things resources that you would identify that, hey, you know what, this would be really good, or you know what, you know, this would be good for you to do, or to, it could be a person, place, thing, or event, something of that nature. Two resources.
The first thing is you won't know until you try it.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling someone the other day that, how did you know you like chocolate, mm-hmm, until you tried it? So mm-hmm, people that say, oh, I don't eat that, or, well, how did you know until you tried it?
Yeah.
So I started small. Mm-hmm. I started with myself. I started learning. And I went from there. Look for open doors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm have an incredible grateful heart for Covenant Behavioral Health and the opportunity to constantly grow and be used, and someone to say, hey, join us. We can really be something together. We can improve people's lives. And that's been absolutely wonderful. So thank you for that. The other thing is, when you find your niche per se,
mm-hmm.
don't stop. Don't stay there. Keep growing. And it is okay to change what you've set out to do. It's okay to say, I can't do that. I'm not set out for it. I'm going to try this.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Don't stop until you find that place with what you love.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a threefold mission. And that second pillar to our mission is training and certification programs. Mm-hmm. And typically 30% of our staff make up associates and trainees, typically. And we have a passion to train people, to help people. I see, let me get personal. I see myself as, I'm very good at what I do.
You are.
But I cannot do everything. I cannot do it all. My heart bleeds, and I'm emotional now just thinking about this, that a veteran and active duty personnel commits suicide every hour. So I see it as my personal God-given mission to train people to become better than me at doing this, so I don't have to carry the weight all by myself.
Absolutely.
That's how I see it. And so I am very much into
team,
the network, and to sharing and to helping people, because then that's work for me. Then I can, then maybe one of these days I can go and sail on a boat in the sun and, you know, not have to come in or anything, grow a beard and all of that. Maybe one of these days I'll get to be able to do that. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And we encourage people in our local congregation, out of 400 or 500 people, we can't be the only two. Yeah. We can't. We need the lay ministers. We need, mm-hmm. we need the training. We need the
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
The last seminar you gave last year was incredibly powerful. I walked away wishing I had brought someone, just one person with me. Of course, I should have brought more because I recognized what that was. But I felt like they missed out on just gold, like we were given gold. And I look forward to the next one. I'm going to work on bringing those people, and hopefully they'll find something they're passionate about. And they'll run with it, and they'll join us. Join us in ministering to people. Join us in finding that career that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Join us in jumping in on an established network, per se, and bring on that.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to see our organization, the United Pentecostal Church International, starting.
We couldn't do it without them.
I am so happy that more and more people now are. You know, I'm being asked to join this group and to join that association. Mm-hmm. It's so refreshing to see. I often talk about, and I still think about this, and it's still a little, it's a little bit of that, can't really put a name to it, that's there. I felt like I was all alone, and I was trying to swim uphill through mud when I first started.
I understand.
And so it's like, you know, now that people are talking about it, more people are in the field. The church as an organization is talking about it now.
It's a joy to know that our leaders, we are leaders, but our leaders are encouraging us and seeing the need for healthier relationships in mm-hmm. every way,
mm-hmm.
even a relationship with yourself, which can involve suicide and drug use and all of that. Even our relationships, that they can be so strong. And if we start at the top, our people will be strong, our families will be strong, our neighborhoods will be strong, the schools will be strong,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it will go from there.
I think
we have great leaders.
The mission, the God's mission, was really to have, excuse me, a right relationship with Him, to be restored back to this right relationship with Him. And at the heart of that mission, there is this underlying or this overarching goal of, first, you got to be good with you. You got to be good with you.
Yes.
When you're good with you, then you can be good with other people.
Absolutely.
And that makes it then so much more easier, because my philosophy is that if I win you to me, it is so much more easier now for me to point you to the ultimate answer.
Absolutely.
All right. So taking care of you, making sure you are good, then that helps you be able to take care of other people and make sure that they are good. So with that human connection you were just talking about, that is so very, very, very important.
I agree.
Yeah, so very important. What do you wish you had known before you started out on this journey?
I wish I had known how imperfect people were. Now, I don't expect everybody to be perfect, and I know they're not perfect, but you don't realize the need until you can see hurt all around you. Mm-hmm. You can see failure all around you, but until you're really there, mm-hmm. studying it, living with it, and trying to teach it, you can notice where people are hurting when you meet them. You don't ask for it. You don't have to say, tell me where you're at. You can grasp that in how the grocery store operator handles your transaction. Mm-hmm. You can grasp the stressed out waitress. You can grasp your neighbor and what's going on when they're going crazy in the garage. Mm-hmm. You start to recognize it and look for it. I can overload myself before I've ever taken on a client per se. Mm-hmm. And I have to be very careful with that. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of prayer and treating people differently. I've changed my ways. I had a little thing on my fridge for a long time. It said, if you want to see change, you've got to change your mind. So when I changed my mind on how I saw things and I became healthier physically, spiritually, emotionally, you can take on some of the other friends or family or parishioners that need to get healthy. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the downsides is you look for it unintentionally, but you can recognize it a mile away.
Yeah.
I don't walk around judging, but once you've been educated in it, you can't help not see that.
Well, and I'll take it another level then, all right? I'll take it to another level. I think that most helpers, because I want to be absolute, most helpers, especially very good helpers, have this intuitive gift. They have this ability to relate to people, to yes. be able to see where they are, to know what's going on with them before a word is ever uttered. There's this intuitiveness that comes along with that. All right, those helpers who are skillful at what they do, when I'm doing psychological first aid, I train people, you don't have to have the answers. Even if you do have the answers, don't share them. Just be there.
Yes.
Your presence alone right. will speak volume right. and bring healing. I'm here.
Tell me
just
what happened.
Just be there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
And I always say,
and I know it sounds silly, but be the heart with ears, mm-hmm. not necessarily the voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, oh man, I agree. So help me understand exactly what led you then to this field. What
I
led
can do that.
You?
We've danced around that for a little bit. All right. Here we go. I had an amazing childhood. Mm-hmm. My family loved camping, and we traveled a little bit. Dinner was always on together. Not perfect, but I had a wonderful upbringing, Christian family, and I married a military man. Mm-hmm. I lived in the same home from birth until marriage. And even though I, you know, was taken from state to state, like I said, we had incredible vacations, that's what I was used to. So I married a man who moved, I'm going to say it was 8 or 9 times before his 12th birthday. So we weren't a match in that area because I thought you moved in and you kind of stayed there. Mm-hmm. And when tough times came, he said, let's search for something better or different. So I dig my heels in and he'd do quite opposite. Not that anything was wrong with either one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, that was something we had to deal with. So I married a military man. I had to learn to be a little more independent when I didn't necessarily want to be, but I was incredibly proud of my Marine Corps husband. No issues there. And I also want to throw this in that every place we moved, every place Uncle Sam sent us for 3 years, mm-hmm. we grounded in the best church that we could find. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's lots of ministry opportunities, and it would have been wrong of us to not learn something every place we lived, whether yeah. it be in our community or in our church mm-hmm. or in the culture we were thrown out to. We've lived in many places. So I teach in my grief recovery this timeline, and I'll move down my timeline. I had some allergies as a kid, and I would sit on the back of the couch in front of the four windows and just watch the kids going to school, and I would grieve that. And I later experienced loneliness from being so far out of touch. We didn't have the technology we have today. Mm-hmm. You didn't get on and someone answer at the other end. Mm-hmm. Computers were just coming around. In 2000 was the first time I remember a camera being attached to our computer. And by then I was on my third child, and mail was slow, and I did not have some of those luxuries. So I had to learn a lot about self-care by myself mm-hmm. and just keep going, one foot in front of the other. Another thing too is being raised in Southern California, just the weather I dealt with, and the snowstorms and the ice and the kids, and mm-hmm. that was different for me. And some may say, oh, big deal. Well,
no,
it was very different. It's for me
impacting
very different for me. And I would say there was one issue every place we lived, mm-hmm. normal and natural issues, you know, that we had to do carry through. The biggest wake-up call for me was when my husband and I each had a sister divorced. Again, I repeat, we were then experiencing the blended family. There was relational issues in our marriage, which I don't know that anybody's exempt from. And many could speak up and say, oh, you know, we had that too. But in all honesty, we had that really strong. And we had to learn to grieve some of the things that were said, or the things that we chose, how we handled those things. Mm-hmm. Another thing too, I had a child born, and within 3 days, that child quit breathing and would turn past blue, I'd say purple, a dozen times. So I'm on this military jet, C-130, does that sound correct? Mm-hmm. You may know.
Yes, it does.
By myself, with a diaper bag and a nurse who's a stranger to me, mm-hmm. just have given birth, going to an island to try to, get some testing.
Yeah.
And just really traumatic times, and a son with allergies and eczema and all those things you battle alone. So there were health issues. So moving forward, it became evident right after retirement that we had some really big issues. Mm-hmm. And nobody told my husband what color to wear that day, or what uniform to wear that day, or mm-hmm. what time to be somewhere. Mm-hmm. And respectfully, he felt lost. Mm-hmm. The brotherhood, the connection yeah. was gone. Yeah. And right before retirement, he had a foot injury that prevented him from really seeking a job and us finding a home. We had to rely on other people, and here we are out in the great big world mm-hmm. and ready to go in a very expensive Southern California. Mm-hmm. So we kind of started life all over again. Very scary. I'm a push through person, and he's a let's figure it out. And so while he's trying to figure it out, I'm moving on without him mm-hmm. and saying we're going to do this. I'm a little more positive in that area. Mm-hmm. That's not artificial. I don't believe something that's not there. I think it's personality. And I'm a really big studier of birth order. Mm-hmm. And so I'm the middle child. Mm-hmm. And
me too.
You know, I can see both sides real easy, and I can mm-hmm. make decisions and weigh all of that. Mm-hmm. And he's the oldest child. And there mm-hmm. were some consequences for being the oldest child. I'd say that he didn't necessarily welcome or appreciate. Often. So we had to bring all that together. I'm a huge fan of love languages, and my love language was not being practiced at all. And so we were just having a really hard time. I didn't feel invested in as a spouse, and mm-hmm. just the disconnect, nothing absolutely dangerous, but it wasn't glorious. Mm-hmm. And after retirement, just those struggles and finding our place in ministry, and he knew that his education was important, and I'm so proud of him. many long nights at the table. And then it was my turn. He encouraged me, and hours and hours, and me being alone, but encouraging him to get his education. Of course, now there's benefits to that. I didn't see those at the time, but he did. He had a plan. He had a goal. I'm the right now person. Let's fix it and move on. And he's the goal setter, and he saw a better way. So I'm so proud of him in that area. But that took up time and attention, and I didn't know that that would be our glorious retirement that we were supposed to have after the military. And then all at once, my father-in-law passed away. So here's the first real large, it felt very large, death in our family. And we did not know how to grieve that. We've since learned. And at that same time, our daughter became very ill. Come to find out, she had Ehlers-Danlos syndrome before we even knew. But we were seeing the normal signs that happen to your body in her 17th year of life, same time as my father-in-law's death. And finding a new normal for her and dealing with the medical field not being aware of even what was wrong with her. Still to this day, we were very, very blessed to get the diagnosis. I'm not proud that she has that or happy, but I'm so happy we were able to get the answers we need, because that saved us a lot of turmoil. When I read and study, people haven't gotten their answers, and they're told that they're crazy for certain things. So just a blessing that we got our answers. We have insurance. She's taken care of. So slowly, I didn't realize that, but I was becoming a legal caretaker for her. And so now I have a new job that I'm bringing on, and that kind of stopped us from any type of growth. And at that same time, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. I knew I had some feelings that weren't right, tingling, and the list could go on. So I got checked out by a neurologist, and so boom, I have a brain tumor. Well, when you hear those words, they're not weighed, but just the title is pretty drastic. Mm-hmm. I successfully live with that every day. There's times I feel the symptoms more than others, but my health was a loss. I'll throw in some premenopause and issues, and we're not young anymore. We're both seeing 50 very, very soon. Mm-hmm. And so on my loss history graph, I have some health issues there. And grieving through those times have been really a struggle. So someone said to us, you need to grieve the prior military life. And that woke me up. How do I do that? Why are you telling me that? So we researched it. I shared with my husband what someone said to him, because he didn't hear. He did not hear what was instructed by our pastor. But we researched it. I went to the class thinking I'm going to learn, when really I had to do myself first. And boy, was that a fun weekend, because I was ready to approach all of that. But getting emotionally healthy, grieving through some of those issues, forgiveness, not forgetting what had happened to me or the things I experienced, but letting go of some of the trauma so that I could blossom in life freely. Yeah. And still have some of those issues. I can't erase them or take them away, but I can better deal with them, and I can teach others. And somebody says, you're so strong. No, I'm not, but I'm educated. And I would hope that I'm a woman of strength, but I'm not strong. I'm not even physically strong anymore. I just can't do what I used to do.
Yeah.
So I do things at my pace, and I absolutely admire anybody later in life that still has a learning, teachable attitude and spirit. And that's why I love my students, my clients that come to me for grief recovery. And even in my mediation, taking a problem, putting it on the table, healthily discovering the issues and discussing it to make something better. Mm. I'm very passionate about that.
Wow.
So those are just a few things as to what took me down my path.
And I often say it is something in our lives that bring us to this field. Or something in the lives of our loved ones.
Yes, yes.
That we're trying to make sense of and heal and fix.
Yes.
That brings us to this field, and that could not be any more truer for you.
But I do feel like I'm equipped for crisis that may come.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are totally unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Look at the pandemic we're living in. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage you, get the tools, get the education, mm-hmm. work on yourself, and then don't stop there. Share it with other people.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate that so much. And I'm quite sure that our listeners are going to find some very helpful tools here. I'd like to ask you a question. So there is a psychology or psychoanalysis personality assessment, and you describe yourself as a color or as a food or something like that. So tell me, what is your favorite, what's your favorite word?
Blessed.
Okay. And identify for me something that you are not very good at.
Just one thing, because there's a whole lot.
Maybe one or two things, but just
let me expand on the blessed, and maybe something will come around. I love living with gratitude, mm-hmm. and when you find gratitude, mm-hmm. you'll prevent a lot of other complaining. The Bible talks about murmuring and complaining. I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm. I'll help you out there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can say how our day went and be honest and truth, but just for the sake of bringing that energy into a room and, mm-hmm. and putting that on other people, I'm not a fan. So okay. I try to live with such attitude that I'm so blessed.
We do get to choose our disposition.
Every day I find so many things. I don't live up in the clouds, mm-hmm. but really.
But we do get to choose our disposition,
I'm
though.
Very quick at acknowledging what is a blessing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it took me a lot of years to get there.
Yeah.
So that's my word. My okay. color or my food, you said next.
So actually, I'd like for you to try to identify like something that you're not so good at.
Something that I'm not.
Yeah. What's something you're not
I'm so I'm not a pro in anything. mm-hmm. I'm not.
So if you had to identify, say, a weakness, what would that weakness be? I'm making you think.
There's so many. Which one do I want to share?
Okay. If you were a type of food, what would that food be? If you were a type of food, what would that food be?
I love a good malt.
A malt?
But as I get older, I learn to appreciate fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. I'm realizing the value, their color.
Mm-hmm.
What they are, why they are, the vitamins, the nutrients
that they provide.
So let's say a strawberry.
Okay. All right. Good. And do you have you talked a lot about different groups, populations, like blended families and relationships, and people who are grieving. If you had to identify like where your passion lies for a particular group, which group are you more passionate about? Which population are you more passionate about working with?
I've never thought about that before.
Yeah. Would it be the people who are in relationships or going into relationships? Would it be people who are blended families? Would it be people who are dealing with grief and loss?
Because we experienced what we experienced with our adolescent daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see people succeed. So when there's a strong, confident, beautiful teenager that does well, good grades, that kids aren't perfect, mm-hmm. but they really strive for healthy, they're helpful, they're super respectful, I really appreciate that in life. And that would be a result of good parenting,
yeah.
and a good, stable home, regardless of who married who or where mm-hmm. they live.
Mm-hmm.
I think that says something.
Okay.
For a good, healthy teenager.
Yeah.
But my first ministry is my family.
Okay.
And I think a mom is so important. Mm-hmm. Mothering skills, good parenting. A mom is, in this day and age, dads not being in the picture is just, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I read, I study it so many times if there was a dad. but it's a privilege and an honor to be a mother. And mothers are special people. Yeah. They really are. Mm-hmm. The things that moms do and say, and there are many, many roles.
And this is Mother's Day weekend.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy
Mother's Day to our listeners who will hear this broadcast. It is Mother's Day weekend. We are closing up here.
I did think about something I'm not good at.
Did you really?
I did.
What was that?
I'm not good where I'm at now with too many things on my plate. Mm. I start to feel like congested. Mm-hmm. And so prioritizing, mm-hmm, and making something wait, learn what can be done today. Mm-hmm. I'm finding I'm not good at I really depend. My husband said, "You're so old school. You don't need that calendar. You have your phone, your electronics." Mm-hmm. No, I need that calendar where the family can write in there and mm-hmm take things away, because maybe health issues, maybe just too much.
Yeah.
But I find I don't juggle things how I used to. I'm not a good juggler.
You got it.
And my plate, I feel like, can get full fast. So it takes someone who says, "Your plate's not full. Your day's over. Go work on yourself." Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be a hobby or a bubble mm-hmm bath or mm-hmm whatever. So mm-hmm I'm not a good juggler anymore. Does that work?
Yeah, that does work. It does. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate our time today. Jennifer Cobb is a pastoral counselor with a background in helping blended families, relationships, and grief and loss support. We want to invite you to check her out. You can visit our website at covenantbehaviorhealth.org. And you can contact us for more information about Jennifer, how you can participate in one of our groups for grief or for relationships. Jennifer can also be found at Spirit and
Truth worshipcenter.net.
And you can go to their contact page there.
Yes.
And you can find her there.
Ministry and staff.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can find her there. You can reach out to her by leaving an email or use the telephone number there.
Yes.
That is available. So, well,
thank you,
thank
so much.
You very much, Jennifer, for being with us. And again, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.